At times like ours, sometimes a Muslim wonders if Islam is the truth, why do the non-Muslims have the upper hand politically, financially, in military terms, and almost in every aspect? Sometimes a Muslim wonders if Allah is Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the worlds, who takes care of the creation, and none of the affairs in existence escapes the control and the power of Allah. Why do we see so much suffering? Why do we see a lot of innocent people being prosecuted, being abused, being killed? Why is there so much suffering in the world? And some of us verbalize this question and seek an answer for it. Some of us keep it within. It stays within them, it burns them, it hurts them. The doubt that grows with it brings more agony into their heart. But they suspect the answer might be shocking. Or they suspect that there might not be a satisfying answer. So it's better to avoid it. The reason we're having these questions, and the reason that we struggle to find answers to those, is that we haven't read the Quran properly. Because Allah answered these questions in the Quran. And the second reason why these questions go through our minds, and sometimes with our youth, and sometimes even with the older generation, especially as we see the genocide that takes place where innocent people, children, women are bombarded and targeted without any sense of humanity, without any level of mercy. And then when you see the politicians of the world, the people with the power, sugarcoating all of these crimes and supporting these atrocities and financing them and providing the political cover for them. And then when on the other side, when you find some of the extremists among the nationalists and the far right, brainwashed, simple-minded people in different parts of the world trying to justify these crimes and provide a rationalization for them, the mind of the Muslim is puzzled sometimes. How come not only atrocities are being committed in daylight, but they are also provided with cover, with a rationalization? And by who? By the ones who seem to be the most intelligent people in the world, who control, who have power, who have control, who control education in the world, the ones who seem to produce technology. And they are the ones who produced the civilization that all of us are now subjects and part of it. So more mystery is added to the doubts. And we say, how come? Where is the question? Where is the answer to this question? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already dealt with that. Allah has clarified that. And the reason we're asking these questions, the reason these doubts are eating at our hearts and are torturing us, or torturing those who have concern for the truth, concern for justice, concern for the innocent people. The reason we have these is that we, instead of reading the Quran, we are thinking as non-Muslims think. We have given up the world view, the mindset, the way of thinking that helps us process the world and navigate it, the infrastructure for how we can deal with the world, we have forsaken what Allah has given us, and we have opted for what the non-Muslims have developed and created for their own selfish ends. We have swallowed that. We have sought to learn that. We looked up to that. We thought that was civilization. We thought that was the way to become more educated, more civilized, and better individuals. And we didn't see the poison that is inherent at the heart of this plot that was devised mainly by Shaitan, Satan himself. That's what happens to Muslims when they leave the Quran, or when they treat the Quran like mere accessories in their life. When the Quran becomes some sort of artifacts that is good to have on the side. But we develop plans for our life designed according to the ways of the non-Muslims. We choose our future. We choose our career, our path in life, exactly using the system that was created by the non-Muslims for their own ends that don't believe in Allah. We process the world in the same way, according to the same system that they put together for themselves to relate to the world. Then we say, where is Allah? Where is Allah's rahmah and mercy? Why does Allah allow all of this to happen? Could all of those intelligent people be misguided and we are the guided ones when our countries are the most backward? When most of the suffering in humanity is taking place within our territories? That's the confusion Shaitan brings into your heart when you opt for the way of thinking that he brought to you through others that you look up to. The Muslim doesn't think this way. And if the Muslim happens to slip and think in this way, out of pain, out of extreme suffering, Islam treats that. We are all aware of the famous incident when Khabbab ibn al-Arat came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca. And he himself was tortured severely. His back was burnt with fire. His back was exposed to the flames of fire directly. He was literally scorched. He was literally barbecued. Literally, that's what they did to his back. He said the only thing that put the fire out was the fat of my back melting and my skin melting and falling on the fire and putting it out. Out of this suffering and pain, and he was a believer, and he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lying on his side in the shade of Al-Kaaba, because the Prophet sallallahu was protected by his family, Allah vowed to protect him through different means. One of them was his tribe, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, ألا تستنصر لنا؟ ألا تدعو الله لنا؟ O Messenger of Allah, aren't you going to make dua to Allah to relieve us? Aren't you going to ask for victory for us? Don't you see what we're going through?" The Prophet ﷺ sits up. And the Prophet ﷺ, even in those most extreme moments, difficult moments, with the extreme suffering, and the Prophet ﷺ is not denying it, and he's not being insensitive. On the contrary, Allah describes him as mercy to the world, as rahmah to the world, as the greatest blessing to the world. The Prophet ﷺ wants to teach Khabbab and the Muslims how to process these extreme conditions so that you don't fall to the way of thinking that the disbelievers have developed. Islam is not mere accessory that it's nice to have on the side. Islam changes how you live life, how you process life. Islam changes how you plan for your life, what your priorities are, what your decisions are, what your choices are, what your morality is, what your lifestyle is. Everything is decided by Islam, and it is substantially superior to any other alternative. But sometimes it takes patience, and it takes courage, and only the patient ones are courageous. So the Prophet ﷺ wants to clear what is more serious than this physical suffering. The calamity would be for the Muslims to fail to process the world and even the most difficult conditions through their faith, and rather have any kind of contamination from misguided people and how they process the world. Because that would be a fatal error. That would mean you would never stand on your feet. You will always be subjugated. You will be neutralized. You will be marginalized. You are defeated from within when you process the world by the same criteria that is designed and that is used by those who are misguided. So the Prophet ﷺ wanted, he had a clear sense of priority. And the Prophet ﷺ wanted to address the most important priority now. And the Prophet ﷺ describes to him what happened to the nations that came before. That a person from among the believers would be brought and they would dig out a pit for him and made him lay down in it. And then they would bring a saw and start sawing at his forehead, through his whole body, cutting him into two halves, slowly, slow death, in order to convince him, even just to publicly renounce faith. And then they would bring combs of iron, prongs of iron, and run them through the flesh and the organs of that person to pull out the flesh and the nerves from the bones. ما يرده ذلك عن دينه. None of that makes that person renounce their faith or give up on it. Why? Because there is faith behind that. It's not normal human capacity that allows humans to put up with that level of suffering. If you process the world through the path of the thinking of the non-believers, you can't put up with pain for the sake of Allah. You'll put up with pain for the sake of your dunya. You'll put up with pain for the sake of wealth, for the sake of fame, for the sake of a low desire. Yes. And you will call it sacrifice. And you'll be proud of it. And social media is full of those fools that we take as role models now. Ruwaybida. Foolish people that are misguided, but just because they have financial success, everyone worships them. One day they take you right, one day they take you left. And instead of busying ourselves with Allah, we just busy with so-and-so and so-and-so. He said this, he said that, in this podcast, in this interview, in this video, in this tweet, they said this, they said that. You worship them. You worship them. And they're enjoying it. So the Prophet ﷺ says, none of that makes the person renounce their faith. Allah addressed that already in the Quran. Allah says, فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا كَلَّا. Allah says, humans, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with wealth, with ease, with what they love, with a pleasant life, an easy life, or an abundant life, they say, Allah is pleased with me, Allah has honored me, I'm so precious to Allah. But when Allah limits their provision, and provision is in the hands of Allah, you can try, but it's Allah who decides. But when Allah limits their provision and Allah tries them, they say, oh, Allah has forsaken me. Allah has given up on me. Allah says, no. No, that's not the way you think. That's how the misguided people think. That's not the story that Allah put together for this world that He created. Allah designed the world and Allah had a story for it, prescribed a meaning for it. And Allah said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have created the jinn and mankind only to worship me. That's why you're here. That's why we're here. And Allah said in the Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ We shall test you. And He mentions different types of test. And then Allah says, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا You think you're going to make it to paradise when you have not been tested, when we haven't tested you as we tested the nations that came before you with hardship, with lack, with illness, with stress, with fear. They were shaken. They were petrified. So why now when the promise of Allah is being fulfilled, instead of that increasing us in iman and saying that's exactly what Allah promised, we are saying, where is Allah? Because we are thinking like disbelievers. And we are treating Islam as the accessories. Imagine a car. You buy a car and everything about it is functional. But you think, you know, I'll just have some more accessories here and there. They're nice to have. But they are not fundamental. They are not important for the functionality of the car. That's how we treat Islam and Allah. Allah for us is more like cosmetics now. Allah is for us more like decoration we put on the wall. It's nice to have, but He's not into our life. So what do we fill our life with? What we have been taught. How to worship the dunya. How to plan for the dunya. How to fall in love with the dunya. And we give it good names. Being ambitious, being successful, being famous, being an influencer, having a great career. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. These are things that Allah put as means. If you put them where they are as accessories of life, then perfect. But we have reversed the whole equation. And then we're saying why people are dying. Well, that's exactly what Allah said is going to be. That's exactly what Allah said. When you treat Islam, when you put the Quran on the side of your life and you live like those who don't believe in Allah live according to their ways, although you have some artifacts, you have some appearance, you have some external, again, things, cosmetics that make you look slightly culturally different. But essentially, you're thinking the same way. You're processing the world the same way. Your priorities are pretty much the same. Let's say 80% the same. What's going to happen? You become a tool. You become a tool that is used by shaitan and by the forces of disbelief who are going to bring destruction, evil, and complete ruin on humanity. You're just going to feed into their system. You're going to reinforce your system, their system. Because in this world, if you are not a force for good, you are a force for evil by default. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. Unknowingly, you'll be used as a pawn for the forces of evil. So we as Muslims should take our life seriously. And again, this is not an invitation against success or against any kind of good that Allah made halal and a useful means. But I'm against, and this is an invitation, this is what Islam is against, the worship of the dunya. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا Have you seen the person who has taken their desires, their whims, their dreams, their plans, however you want to put it? Their ambitions, they have taken that as what? As their God. Meaning that's what they pursue. This is what they live for. How are you going to control these people? You don't have control. People are responsible for their own doings.
أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعده. So what can we do? What can we do in order to free ourselves from the predicament that we have willingly, you know, allowed ourselves to be part of? First, wake up. Wake up as a Muslim and as a believer, you have a responsibility to save yourself, to educate yourself, and to devote yourself for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People worship their gods proudly. They worship wealth, they worship status, they worship power openly, and they're proud of it. They're proud of it. They're allowing it to shape their life and their decisions. And not only their decisions, they allow it to even shape the destiny and the future of populations, of millions of people and generations to come, for their own personal gain. For their own personal gain. And they know how to beautify that. They know how to sugarcoat that. As a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has freed us from that. We worship Allah. There's no way to freedom except by worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being true to Allah. So any position you are in, if you are the father in the house, fulfill your obligation and better yourself, improve yourself. The more you develop yourself, the more you become a better influence on your wife and your children. The mothers in the house, embrace the role that Allah gave you. Take Allah's plan for you. Don't take the plan of all of the lies that they tell you as promises, with which they waste your life and they waste your children and they destroy their future. By taking you out of the most precious and noble role that a human being could ever play, the most crucial. Embrace that role that Allah chose for you, and Allah, you will never regret it. You will never regret it. Our children, our youth, wake up. You're not here for video games. You're not here for dating. You're not here for social media. You're here for something greater. Don't let these things devour you and ruin your future. You can't achieve heroism at the keyboard as you're playing video games. That's a lie. That's deception. Don't waste your life. There is real heroism that is more exhilarating than any video game that you are fond of, where you bring real change into the world. At least play your role. Be a positive change. Be something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lead a better life. Don't let them mess with your mind. Don't let them waste your life. Take the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions as the example. That's the way for us to go. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويذل فيه أهل معصيتك ويعمل فيه بكتابك وسنة نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما لبيك اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم